Taking Stock with Carol Masser and Michael McKee, on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app, free for iPhone and Android devices.
Well, the season is turning. We're going straight from the fall and winter into the winter.
Yes.
And is it the winter of our discontent? Doug Scioka is Chief Executive Officer and Partner in Kevar Capital Partners in Leawood, Kansas. And we definitely want to ask you about the markets, but let me, because my mind works in strange ways, I'm reading this story while we were in the commercials about how a million square miles of America, 35% of the lower 48, is in under freezing temperatures, and then it's basically in the Midwest. How cold is it in Leawood, Kansas right now, Doug?
Well, good afternoon. It's cold. It's warmed up from the lows of the day. It got down into the low single digits, so we're probably holding firmly around 20 degrees.
Oh, boy. We have that to look forward to.
Headed your way. That's right. Polar vortex round two.
That's coming our way. Well, we certainly don't want that for the next year. But if we don't get that, and of course, we all remember what it did to the economy and the markets back in the first quarter of 2014. If we don't get that, don't have a weather effect. Do we have a valuation effect in the markets as we begin the year? A lot of people say, you know, we've come a long way and maybe it's time to start, consolidating a little bit.
I could see that, Michael. I mean, I do think that it's convenient how quickly the recall of the investor is when you consider that 9.5 weeks ago, both the Dow and the S&P were negative year-to-date midday on October 15th. We had such a climb higher, really, through the course of the last week with over 1,000 points of Dow gain that it kind of conveniently recalls the year as pretty slow, boring, another elevated valuation year in the context of a Fed that really didn't do much, but they threatened and they discontinued the taper. So we do need to prepare for the bond market to sell off, which had an incredible year this year. And then we're not sure necessarily what to make of the negative commodity cycle influence on valuations as well. Is it a positive or a negative? So it could be a year of somewhat discontent that could extend some of the smaller, though more frequent, spates of volatility that punctuated this year.
Hey, Doug, people pay you for advice and they, you know, want to know how to invest when we do have kind of the commodity pricing environment that we are seeing currently. I mean, what is your take on that? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Does it continue?
Well, I think it could be viewed in both ways, Carol. But what I think more than anything right now is it's indeterminate as it relates to whether or not it's going to be elongated because of what input is still coming out of some of the old world of price setters over in OPEC, or whether it's going to be short-lived because there'll be a redeployment of a plentiful supply in the new world, right? Whether that's just the U.S., whether it's horizontal drilling, whether it's natural gas and oil, whether we'll finally see the introduction of this manufacturing renaissance, we're going to redeploy this cheap energy in a very functional capacity. I think it's very indeterminate, and unfortunately, it's probably really difficult to say that we can have a confident outlook on energy prices and where we are in the commodity cycle. But I do think one thing that we're going to have to contend with is the short-term nature of a credit cycle in a longer-term nature of a commodity cycle. And I think that's what the market, why it was exhibiting such a temperamental spate of fluctuation over the course of last month coming out of the OPEC meeting of indecision on reducing some of the drilling and some of the production quotas on that Thanksgiving Day meeting. And I think people thought, holy smokes, now we've got all these startup drilling organizations that are going to bring the supply and market, and that ought to be really good, but not if the Middle East and the OPEC ministers decide they're just going to see how far they can test it before it isn't necessarily so good.
Well, where do we go in the beginning of the year then if you're an investor? What do you want to do while you try to figure these key questions out?
Yeah, I think what you need to do, Mike, and I always say to folks, right, in my experience, shortly after the perceived benefit of portfolio balance is abandoned, right, and when terms like diversification are making their rounds in trade publications and social media, we are bound to see a lot more difficulty in decision making. right? I think we have to be prepared for some velocity of money when the threat or the actual instance of rising interest rates takes place in our economy. And that typically will accompany some or be a catalyst for some market dislocation. In addition to that dislocation, we ought to see a wave of consolidation. And we think particularly now in energy is sort of an offshoot of what's taking place in this commodity price cycle, but also in financial services. In addition to velocity.
Wait, I'm going to jump in here because we're talking velocity and we're talking a lot of different things and different cycles. Doug, what does it mean for my investments in 2015?
I think you're going to have a benefit to broadening your perspective of expected returns beyond just large cap U.S. based stock investments.
So small cap Europe, what specifically?
I think Europe in particular, Carol, has caught our attention from a pure quantitative valuation standpoint. I think their monetary policy prescriptions might prove more efficacious than had been anticipated. In fact, right, if you look at the last, that PMI composite index, that market flash Eurozone PMI, set a two-month high. Consumer confidence numbers, surprisingly to the general public, are increasing. Consumer spending alongside of that actually expanded by 0.5% in the third quarter. Now, I think as the market perceives the problem with Europe is that things are taking a little bit longer, right, from the idea to implementation phase than was the case in the U.S. when they were contemplating a very aggressive monetary policy, very aggressive easing course of action at the central bank level. But the Germans aren't going to allow the ECB to write checks that can't be cashed. Right, it's actually a lot more fiscally responsible, arguably, than the policy that was implemented in the United States. But we really think it could set off a positive effect for financial assets that could boost inflation and also lower unemployment over there.
Sort of like the following on the Fed effect.
Yeah, maybe 3 or 4 years in its wake, Mike, that would gather some traction and some teeth. And if you look at them on a comparable valuation standpoint, to your point and to your comment on the lead-in, the valuation is a lot more attractive and less stretched overseas, particularly the developed Europe, than it is in the U.S.
Doug, got 20 seconds. So does that mean you're buying up Europe at this point?
We are very much aligned with that statement. We think there's
is that a yes?
Yeah.
I'm not Congress. I'm just asking you a question.
Yes, we are. We think there's a lot of opportunity over there.
All right. We'll take that as a yes. Doug, thanks so much. Doug Sciocca, he's Chief Executive Officer and Partner at Cavar Capital Partners, $375 million in assets under management. He joined us from a very cold 20 degrees in Leawood, Kansas. Mike, I'm glad we're not quite... I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
Don't hold your breath. It's coming this way. That's a bad thing.
Taking Stock, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, in San Francisco on 960 a.m. and 103.7 FM HD2, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014 Bloomberg LP.